to make it today. So I just started to record. So the majority of today's discussion, I think, will center around the 3-4 process, the 3-4 release process. We've had some good discussions offline about things that we can do to make the process more incremental and measured and tractable and better in all ways. Steve's been putting together some ideas, and I think with that, I'll go ahead and kick it off to you, Steve, to talk about what you've been thinking about.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Yes, I mean, an overall objective of kind of essentially evening out the workload over the release timetable and being able to get a better idea of kind of where we are rather than kind of bunching up stuff towards the end. I know personally how I will work is if I've made a commitment to a particular deadline, then I tend to leave things until that deadline. So basically, we were thinking if we could come up with a series of milestones during the release and basically schedule things for those milestones as we move through the timetable. I've just put a link on the IRC of an outline proposed release timetable to address that. And in that, you'll see that I basically put forward some candidate milestone dates on there, essentially three milestones, the last milestone being the release candidate code freeze. And so I was thinking overall, the way the process might work is, break the process into milestones, schedule the work against the milestones rather than the release as a whole. So to make that work, we would prioritize all of the work items, all of the items in Jira. And then as we schedule for the upcoming milestone, concentrate just on that milestone and schedule based on priority order. Then take a look essentially at who's assigned against each of the work items and work out if we can actually do that within people's availability and adjust the schedule or what's in that milestone as necessary. And then as we get to the end of the milestone, take a review of what we've actually been able to implement, see what is still left to be done, and repeat the process. So that's kind of an overview of the overall idea. So it's kind of taking ideas from agile process, if you like. So does anyone have any thoughts over the overall concept of handling it that way?
Well, I shared with you privately, Steve, my reaction. I love the idea of working into milestones, ultimately up to a release candidate, and especially prioritizing or putting the highest priority things up toward milestone one, and really getting the gnarly stuff out of the way as early as we can.
Yeah. Okay. I've put some suggested dates down there, so I'd welcome feedback on how people think that works. I mean, essentially, we've got kind of 3-week chunks of work there. The first chunk of work, working towards actually scheduling milestone one, would be going through essentially everything in Jira, making sure we can prioritize everything and just getting the overall planning sorted out. And then once we get to Friday, it'd be the 16th of April, we would hope to have that milestone one scheduled. So, you know, picking items from Jira and scheduling against that milestone, knowing who's going to do what. And then I've got the actual deadline for completing milestone one and milestone two and milestone three there. So I mean, I'd like to get this question really whether folks think this will work for them. And obviously in the build-up to scheduling milestone one, that doesn't stop any people doing any work or fixes or stuff that's outstanding. And what we also were talking about is sort of community involvement around that and ideas around that would be if we can put out an announcement fairly soon on the overall release timetable, providing everyone's happy with it, particularly highlight the dates for getting the first milestone scheduled and ask people to actually vote on the issues that are in Jira at the moment to get some community feedback. Also ask people to contribute their own issues if there's anything else they would like to see in the release. And obviously, as much as possible, to volunteer to do things, coding tasks themselves.
Yeah, I like the idea of having people, getting them involved in the voting really before we start, and really having that directly feed into the prioritization of the stuff that's in JIRA. I mean, we talked about prioritization of the major items that we know, you know, we have people interested and ready to work on for 3-4, but then the other items in JIRA, you know, getting that better sense up front before we really start, before we really decide what goes in these different milestones would be great. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if people have different ideas of priority and willing to put their own time in to fixing other stuff, then, you know, as ever, we'd be open to that in terms of community involvement. What do you think, Kai, in terms of the overall timetable we've got there, in terms of your experience and time for testing and organizing and coordinating?
I'm just opening it just a moment.
Okay, cool.
So Steve, am I understanding correctly that this schedule you've laid out here is abstract in the sense that there aren't right now any features attached to the milestones?
Absolutely. It's just laying out an overall timetable, and then we would work to decide what features go into the milestones.
So from what I can see, I think it looks feasible to me. So
okay. I've left a clear month, basically, after we release the release candidate for that to go out to the community for them to do testing. Obviously, that's over the time when OR10 is, but a clear month, and then a couple of weeks after that to essentially tidy up anything, any feedback from the community.
Yeah, I like the timing. Like, you know, like we said before, trying to get at least a release candidate out before OR, and it seems like this schedule offers plenty of time to have interested community members come in and help out with banging on that release candidate and really making sure it's good quality before we cut the final release.
Yeah.
So would we do a cycle of testing around the milestone deadlines too, or would we just have sort of ongoing functional testing going on, you know, as we complete items?
That's a good question, because I mean, I wouldn't want to kind of like overload the overall process by having too many sort of iterations of full testing going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the kind of test plan that we drew up for the previous release, which basically involves someone else looking at someone else's code that's gone in, checking out the tests that have gone in for it and checking that it basically works. I think that could work actually against the milestones. So you're kind of getting a milestone signed off when all the items in the milestone are tested. But in terms of the full system tests that we've got down, I guess that would be more towards the end as the kind of final round of testing.
Yeah, that's an idea. So we concentrate on the different, maybe more near the end of the whole process, the different environment, you know, doing the testing on all the different permutations of database and all that business, plus, you know, just system tests in general. But then we concentrate more on just the functional verification style tests for bug fixes and features, having somebody do reviews of things that have been marked as completed.
So I guess in terms of scheduling, that would actually mean not just scheduling the item, but working out who would be available to test those once they're in.
Yeah, I think as like as we went into the last time, you know, ideally you have somebody who's not the developer checking something out. I mean, there's, you know, on one hand, there's just unit tests, which are great, but you also want somebody to come in there and verify, well, that a unit test exists and is working like it's supposed to, but...
Yeah, and different people have different perceptions on what a problem relates to and the best way to fix it. It's kind of a level of sense checking, really.
So I wonder if, I mean, one way to do that is to try, I mean, what seems not to work that well, which I'm struggling with the 3.3.1 release is just, you know, invite everybody to come in and sign up to do whatever testing they want. On the other hand, you've got, you know, everybody's got their normal work priorities. So I wonder if, I mean, I was thinking, you know, what if we just did like a, if you contribute, you know, say you contribute to a major item in milestone one, that kind of signs you up as a contributor for that, but as a tester for any other random item, like it's just part of the process where it's not so much you necessarily choose what you get to test. It's just that as part of working on one item, you know, part of the time you make available is also, you know, signing up to help test somebody else's item. I don't know.
Certainly in terms of, you know, someone's availability, looking at it from that perspective, that the work required is not just writing code, but it's also ensuring the release quality by testing items. I think that is valuable. But I guess, I mean, how it works in practice is going to depend a large part to the time that people have actually got at different points during the overall process, really.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an open question as to whether, you know, putting these dates in is actually not going to be flexible enough, depending on, you know, people's changing priorities and stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess having a footprint of like kind of what we're aiming for is good, but just having the notion that, you know, it's certainly possible that a milestone, you know, we're not going to be ready in time for like milestone one, then we may have to push that back. But just as long as we're not sort of slaves to the process, you know, but
yeah,
we're really trying to follow it in spirit, you know.
I suppose the agile process way of dealing with that is actually to leave the date fixed, but to move the work around. So that if you don't get all of the high priority items into milestone one, for example, they become candidates for scheduling into milestone two. And I guess similarly with the testing of those items.
Okay, that makes sense.
You still have a kind of a regular checkpoint and you get a regular feel for how you're doing.
And that's kind of consistent with the overall philosophy we've been following the last couple release. Just, you know, if an item's not done near the stated release date, then it just can't be in that release. So by the same token, if it can't be done for a milestone, it just gets pushed to the next one. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's a tool to scheduling as well, because if you get to the end of milestone one, you realize you've been overambitious in terms of people's time. It guides you in terms of how you should schedule milestone two more realistically.
I feel like one benefit of this approach may also be, and when you guys are at open repositories, I'm assuming, well, not assuming, but it's going to be good to be able to talk about this seems like it will give you a good framework for talking about the state of the release candidate and what its features are, but also I think the approach Steve's talking about of letting the tasks themselves, you know, move down and maybe bump each other off the milestones is also going to keep us kind of on top of what features are basically moving into the version 4 release set.
That's true, because the further it gets toward the later milestone, the more likely that becomes.
Yeah, exactly.
We have upfront notice of that. That's good, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we should be open to reprioritize stuff as we go on, so that, you know, as new items crop up, or if people come in late voting on stuff and we realize that actually there's, you know, a real community demand for something, only prioritizing one milestone at a time gives you a bit more flexibility in terms of and bumping stuff off. So.
So I'm curious, Steve, about the if you had any thoughts about, you know, having three milestones versus two, or if 3 weeks seemed like sort of a logical chunk of time, or what the thoughts behind that.
A lot of agile process-based stuff recommend an iteration, or whatever they term it in their particular methodology, of 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, obviously, we're in a situation where people aren't able to commit full time, and we're also being a bigger group than what are typically very small agile teams. I suspect the amount of coordination around that, and, you know, sorting out scheduling and stuff, might take a bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, as well as people's availability. So just, and it kind of fitted into the number of weeks we got, kind of there as well. So it's finger in the air, and I'm quite willing to.
But I guess the reason there, but for having milestones more closely than maybe you often see traditionally, is to make small jumps, right? I mean, in the same way, you know, for the same reason we do it with source code, is just to get everybody synced up periodically and make sure we're all working on the same train.
Yeah.
I think what could also be helpful is to have a sense of availability from everyone, even now. I know there's a lot of uncertainty involved, but just to get a sense of how to plan the milestones might be helpful.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe we could have some sort of shared space calendar sort of thing where we can get an overall picture of when we think people are going to be around.
Yeah, something like that. Or if someone's not going to be around for a whole month or something, that this is just known.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, we may find that, you know, there's a whole bunch of people not around for, you know, a particular set of weeks in which we'd want to adjust to the overall schedule based on that. So,
right.
I'll have a think about what we might put up for that then.
Yeah. One idea for that might be just to say, you know, give everybody, even folks who weren't able to attend this week, a little assignment for the week to, you know, go to this page and fill out your availability for the next 3 months or whatever. And then everybody can just go out and do it and would have that information available for next week.
Yeah. No, we could put a note out. So I'm asking them, first of all, to review the calendar for the people that hadn't actually looked at this and the overall approach suggested. And secondly, to, like you say, to fill in some sort of a page indicating availability.
Yeah.
Okie doke. And so I guess the starting milestone one is actually to sort out what's in the tracker at the moment, really, which I know you've been looking at, Chris, already, haven't you?
Yeah. So if you're on this wiki page for release timetable in the left nav, you'll see Fedora 3.4 tracker review. And as I started to go through the tracker last week, I realized, you know, that it does need a general quality review before before really even being able to scope items for 3.4. So this is the thing that I've been trying to do. Actually, it was kind of prompted by working on 331 and just looking, really taking a deeper look at the tracker again. But this kind of review is actually, I think, useful as a, as an ongoing, you know, to put somewhere close to the beginning of a point release cycle, to make sure, you know, we've got the visibility to these issues, that they don't sort of die on the vine out there, you know, being out there for several releases and not getting any attention. So to do a, you know, a revisiting of these issues is good. So I've been plugging through a few of those and just planning to do some quality quality checking, making sure we've got things that are still relevant. But I thought after that point, then we're really in more of a position to be able to say, and obviously this is up for argument, but what I'm suggesting here is that we go, in terms of deciding whether something is scoped for 3.4, if it is a bug and it's verified to be an open bug on the tracker, that we just go ahead and mark it for 3.4. And that's not taking into account the fact that, you know, we don't necessarily have somebody scheduled to work on it yet. It's just saying, you know, it's a quality issue and we need to address it. And if it doesn't get addressed for 3.4, say it's low priority, nobody bites off on it, what have you, then that's fine. We can push it forward later on. I guess for open features and improvements, I was sort of thinking the same philosophy would apply there. That except applied to features, really the constraint or why we would push something forward or the decision we can make up front is whether we think it's going to have a major architectural impact. And of course, if it is, it goes, you know, it doesn't get to go in 3.4. A release further down. Clearly, if it's something we've already talked about for 3.4, it gets scoped that way. If it looks like it's well-defined and easy to do, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but then even if we don't have anybody, we still throw it in the 3.4 bucket. Yeah. I guess the risk here is coming off as too ambitious for the release and getting people too overwhelmed with this sense that there's this huge set of issues and not many people have yet signed up to work on it. On the other hand, it's making things available so that as we involve people in putting the release together, we can be more ambitious. You know, so.
I mean, one thing I do remember from the last release is, I can't remember at what point it was, but I can remember that we did spend quite a lot of time sometimes actually reviewing, and actually when we're not in release as well, a lot of time kind of going through issues and reviewing them and talking about them in some detail, which can take quite a lot of time out. And I wonder, we don't really use the voting facility in Jira ourselves that much. So I wonder, in terms of a first pass at deciding what gets in the release and what doesn't, whether that could also be used, whether we could ask, you know, the committers to vote on things that they think are important or should be in the release.
Yeah.
To kind of prioritize the evaluation almost.
I think so, if someone would take the role of the Jira gardener, that might also improve things. Because if someone is already familiar with all the things that need attention, I think it gets much easier to go through the list.
Yeah. If they can kind of do a first pass, if you like, of prioritizing and
looking
at the important things. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is some sort of hybrid between, you know, somebody who's familiar with the issues and also making sure the scoping is, well, there's prioritization and then there's scoping for the release. And I guess, I mean, you know, you do want to prioritize in order to be able to scope correctly. But I don't know, I'm just thinking at what point in scoping for 3.4 do we, does the second pass on this wiki page coincide directly with, you know, maybe after this initial review for the second pass, the initial guess is done, then that's when we send out the message saying, you know, here's our guess, and community come in and vote, you know, vote on these issues,
yeah,
and help us think about it more. But I don't know how that could play into whether something was in 3-4 or not.
I think that's a good point, though, because there is a danger with overwhelming people. I mean, I'm just looking at the, you know, the open list at the moment, for example, and we've got, is it the open list? It's the items tagged as unresolved, and we've got 4 pages on there. And I can imagine someone coming in and starting looking through, they get through the first page, and you just think, well, this is going to take me a long time. So I think, you know, bringing together Kai's suggestion for a Jared Gardner and doing that first pass would be useful, you know, if we could put candidates together and then start whittling it down.
I might, if I could make an observation, I also think there's, when we look at the unresolved issues without organizing them by roadmap themes, it's a really intimidating list, as you say. It's really long. But I look at a lot of things here, and they, to me, are, and for example, there are a number of things here that, on the basis of our ongoing conversation about this, I would regard as specific libraries to be developed after we have a model-driven service deployment framework in place. And likewise, there are a whole host of things here that are different types of storage support that that are probably going to end up being, you know, modules, implementation modules of an emerging storage framework. Now, I mean, in that case, I think we also kind of have agreed that those are probably moving to version 4. But I do think that there are some ways that we'll collapse some of these things in a way that their implementation might not need to be attached to the release of 3.4 as a framework. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think the gist of what you're saying is, I mean, basically following the London meeting and the sort of things we talked about there, there's probably some natural dependencies that start to emerge out of some of the open items here. The best implementation path for them would be dependent on certain architectural changes, for example.
Yes, I think that's true. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And I think some of these will start to fall out as kind of natural extensions or implementations of things that we that we do have in the pipeline.
Yeah, so that's probably a kind of a gyro guarding task as well, then, isn't it, to identify those?
Yeah, so the module architecture is clearly one thing that things could be dependent on, if you imagine the ideal way to implement them. So that could tell us right away, as Ben mentioned, you know, this probably is after 3.4. So I'm trying to think. I mean, one, we have this role of Jared Gardner, which I'm happy to take up, but I'm kind of curious if anybody out there is interested in kicking in on it as well.
I guess if there are certain things that are dependent on people's proposals from the London meeting, they'd probably find it easier to go through the list and spot, you know, that a certain issue on there would be best implemented as part of or as a consequence of that issue.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I would generally agree with that. And, you know, because, I mean, to me, I think it makes sense because right now, just looking at Jira, there look to be 6 issues right now that are tagged as 3-4. And so, I mean, we were discussing basically looking through the issues and assigning things to 3-4 if they, you know, met the various criteria. And I think it could make sense because, I mean, I've identified a certain subset of issues that would be, you know, really useful for having in place for doing the high level storage stuff, you know, so I could basically put those in the 3-4 bucket. And, you know, we could basically have each of the developers go through and, you know, basically think about, you know, take a look at some of the, you know, general themes that are scheduled for 3-4 and just toss it all in the bucket if they think it makes sense. And so we'll end up with, you know, a bucket with probably more issues than we'll deal with. And then it's a matter of, you know, voting on stuff in that bucket and whittling it down, you know, basically, you know, iteratively, you know, milestone 1, milestone 2, milestone 3, and then there'll be some things that will be left off at the end. I don't know. I mean, that's just how I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right to me.
Okay, so just as a general process, then there's still this general sort of quality review of, you know, getting rid of stuff that's irrelevant, and we don't want people to have to look through.
What do you mean by getting rid of?
Well, closing as won't fix if it's not relevant. If it's a duplicate, linking to which issue it's a duplicate of. If it's in the receive state, determine if it can be opened.
Okay, so are we thinking of having people look through all the issues and vote on them for inclusion in 3-4, or basically, you know, having the committers basically look through the issues, you know, toss things into the bucket and have everybody look at what's in there and vote for them?
I think we should leave it open for people to vote on whatever they want. But in terms of actually getting people to actually do the job, I think if we did have a candidate list of what we thought was going to be in 3-4, or a, you know, or a bigger bucket than we think would fit in 3-4, but that would be the candidate list. As a starting point, but then leave people to go through the rest if they want, if they have time, if they want to post the whole list.
So if we leave it open, I mean, that's one approach, is to only actually mark things for 3-4 when we know they're already attached to something that we know, you know, we have somebody working on. And then other things might not even make it into the 3-4 bucket unless they get enough votes.
Good question.
Because it is a couple different philosophies on it, I guess. And Dan?
Yeah. I just got interrupted by the beeps. I would tend to think the voting would be oriented around what sort of things people want to see in Fedora, and some notion of the number of votes indicates a priority. By knowing that priority, then the committers can decide how to prioritize the work. But it's not specifically will it go into 3-4, but rather it's a high priority item that a lot of people want. And then based on an understanding, the committers decide what release to put it in.
I think that's a good point, because certainly, you know, the kind of decision as to whether something's in 3.4 or 4, based on whether it's a large architectural change or not, I mean, that's more of a decision for the committers, I guess. Whereas identifying that something is just useful to the community and should go into the Fedora is a real matter, and that's a kind of more a community matter. So I would agree, actually.
So following that, that would mean that the actual sort of closing in on the list of issues that really go into 3.4 would happen after we get sort of a round of voting out there for the community. I mean, certainly we can take our first stab at it and with things that we already know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just in terms of helping, sort of couching it as help us prioritize for Fedora in general. And then we can come in and say, does that naturally fit into 3.4 or not? We could also say, well, this is, you know, put it out in front of people and say, here's the highest priority stuff. And now we need, you know, people to help work on them. Either, obviously, in the committer group, we can just kind of sign up. But we also want to figure out a way that for people to contribute to helping with those things, too. And still, that doesn't answer the question of, do we not put it in the 3.4 bucket until we know we have a resource? you know, I could see it actually going both ways. Originally, the last couple releases, I've sort of leaned more toward putting things in the bucket and just letting things fall into future releases. If they didn't get anybody signed up to them to do them, but that has its own issues. One with, I think it might complicate the planning processes around these milestones. You know, to have to consider things that are part of the milestone, but we don't yet have anybody signed up to do anything on.
I was going to say we've all participated in agile processes. At the beginning, the longest time away from actual delivery of 3.4, you would assign items which would be a stretch goal for 3.4, but not completely unreasonable. Then do a replanning periodically, let's say each month, and review what's listed in 3.4, and the closer you get to delivery, as reality starts to hit, you start pushing things into the next release.
So I think, Dan, that argues more for taking the guess, even if we don't have somebody signed up for 3.4, still taking the to work on an item for 3.4, still assigning it as a stretch goal.
Yeah, as long as it's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see a difference between kind of a 3.4 bucket and the buckets for each milestone, basically. So, you know, based on a sense of priority, you know, initially everything would go in the 3.4 bucket and it wouldn't be assigned. Then when we get to actually planning what goes in the milestone one bucket based on the priorities within 3.4, part of that process is working out who's available to do what. Mm-hmm. So my gut feel that was that you wouldn't put something into the milestone one bucket unless you've got someone assigned to it.
Okay, yeah. So I wonder if we could do something in Jira to help facilitate that. When we get there, we don't have to do it right this this week necessarily, but it seems like Jira is perfectly capable of helping us with that by having either like a new field that's, you know, which milestone, or using the release field to indicate which milestone something's applied to.
Well, I hate to introduce a new tool and it's not ready, but probably take a look at the Green Hopper plugin. Because that basically is for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It may not fit exactly what we want to do, and maybe just one more tool too far, but be worth looking at least for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Bill's on the call today, right? Yeah. Bill was on the call briefly, I think, but he kicked out. Oh, well. Because Bill was also looking at the same thing at Green Hopper. Okay, well, you know, noted, you know, we have that option. We also obviously have the custom field option to have Jira help us with this.
Right.
For as far as scheduling, getting Green Hopper installed, I would probably like to do a Jira upgrade before that happens, but we're due for that sometime soon anyway. So,
right.
But it's, you know, probably more than a week out.
At least.
Okay.
Okay.
So does that still leave us in terms of community voting? They're just open to the full list of all open issues. If we don't want to tie it down to a particular release of Fedora.
Yeah. I like that. So is it, I wonder if it's I would like to get rid of dupes and everything before asking people to go through big lists.
Yeah, agreed.
But is there anything else we'd need to do to prepare for that step besides just, you know, the quality review?
Yeah, I mean, it's a community engagement sort of issue anyway, that people should be always encouraged to look at what's in Jira and vote on it and add stuff. So the more encouragement, you know, with a focus on, you know, that might get implemented if you vote for it, would encourage people to go there and start thinking about things.
Yeah. So let's see. Headed back to the page here, but Stephen, your initial milestone wiki page. Well, maybe it wasn't listed on that page, but I had the impression that sending out the sort of call for participation was sometime, like, I think in about a week and a half or 2 weeks or something from now.
Yeah, fairly soon, I think.
Still seems reasonable to do it around then. Okay, well, I'll certainly, on the general quality side of things, I'll try to work through those dupes in Jira.
Okay.
And get prepped for that.
Based on what we've discussed, I'll see if I can add a bit more detail in terms of how the process might work, in terms of what we're talking about, you know, buckets for 3-4 items in general, and how we move those into milestone one buckets, what that means in terms of getting people assigned and that sort of thing, and get that up on the page for people to comment on.
Cool.
And I'll also try and get to the Jira list myself in the next week or so and have a good go through what's on there.
On the other item was, we need to nag everybody to put their availability up somewhere.
Yeah. Does anyone know of anything within Confluence that's good for that sort of thing, or is it just kind of a general table type thing?
Yeah, I don't know of anything specifically. I mean, I guess there's always the option of using one of the online tools that's usually used for meetings, I think that might be usable, like on a day-by-day basis or maybe even month-by-month. The Doodle tool for getting that might be useful there. But also, you know, just having a table of, like, tell us when you're not available and enter it here might be just as easy. I mean,
yeah,
just kind of data gathering is the problem right now.
Yeah. How are we on the likely dates for the Fedora meeting during OR10?
Yeah, let me check on that real quick. I haven't checked in a few days. But actually, if Thorny, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Have you had any thoughts on that? I think you must have seen the message I sent out just asking.
Yeah, sorry, I was away and it got buried in my email. but I did read it and I meant to get back. The complication that's coming up is there's a lot of meetings being scheduled, and for people coming from the U.S., there was some concern about the 4th of July holiday being that Sunday, that weekend. So I don't know. And we just need to basically, I guess, take a poll and see what people want to do.
Well, and that is the so I did send out that poll week before last, but haven't gotten a lot of responses. Just 6 people have responded so far. So, it doesn't look like we have really an overwhelming difference right now. 3 people voted for Monday, 2 people voted for Friday. It seems like Monday's okay. It also seems like, if there's a chance of us having a little bit of time to meet with DSpace folks, just to discuss some ideas that they were thinking about. And I've been talking with Tim about this, they're sort of looking into DSpace on Fedora ideas. If there's a chance to meet with them, it's probably the better chance for that is going to be on Monday instead of Friday, because they are doing their committer meeting on Monday. So, I'll send another nagging query out to the committers to see if we can get a little more definite feel for what people want. And I think we need to make the decision here pretty soon, even though either way, it's not going to be ideal. People do need to schedule their travel. So make it a goal to have that decided or decidable at next week's meeting. Well, Steve, did you have anything else more on the 3-4 planning?
I don't think so at this stage. Like I say, I'll try and update that page based on the discussions we've had and add a bit more detail. And we should invite people to obviously comment on that, especially people who haven't been able to make it on the call today. Obviously, getting a sight of people's overall availability will help in testing that plan as well, because obviously if we do have big chunks of time when very few people are available, we might want to play around with those dates a little bit. But overall I think that's fine actually.
Okay. Then I'll just talk for a couple seconds about 3.3.1. So I mentioned that I was wanting to put out a 3.3.1 release soon, and it looked like we were in agreement that this is probably a good time to do that. Last week we discussed the issue that Eddie was working on, and I did go back and look at it. This is the issue around the DS locations. That was what, FC repo 665. It was just spurious warnings. I'm pretty sure my commits this morning fixed that in maintenance 3.3 and trunk. And that was the last piece, I think, that we had really scoped for the 3.3.1. So I did notice another issue came in, Steve, that you had logged. It didn't look like on the surface that was really worth waiting on too much, but
yeah.
That was the one that was on the mailing list about generating PIDs.
Yeah. It's hard to major. It just should be fixed at some point. It's got very little impact, I think.
So that was the only potential one I saw that came through that might be, but it sounds like, if it's not major, we should just move forward with 3.3.1. So I plan on sending a 3.3.1 help me test this thing message out this afternoon, and basically we'll be ready to push out a release soon after we're able to get each of those items spot checked by folks. So so it's looking like, we're zeroing in on that. Hopefully this week.
Cool.
Are there any other miscellaneous items anybody had before we wrap up today?
I've got the Confluence 3.2 bits now. Sometime in the next 10 days, I'll have a test implementation up. It'll be a snapshot of what we have right now. But when it's there, it would be nice if the committers could look through things to see if stuff is cool. One of the items is a new documentation-oriented space, designed for software documentation that we may want to consider utilizing. I don't know. And a bunch of open social tools. Subsequent to that, I'll get a hold of the JIRA 4.0 and do the same thing. Now, remember, it's not a snapshot. I mean, it's a snapshot. When we do these things, final migration will happen just during an unavailable period. So I'll send a note out when it's available and what URL it's available on.
Cool. Summarize that on the IRC there. Okay. Thanks, Dan. Anything else? Anyone? All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks especially to Steve for doing this initial planning and mapping out of our 3.4 terrain. Yep. Talk with you all next week. And I think we are going to go ahead and shoot for 11, or well, I should just say an hour after the time that we're meeting today, next week. So we're going to shift back to the back to where we were a few weeks ago to make it easier for folks on the West Coast to attend, West Coast US to attend. So talk with you next week in about 23 hours and 53 minutes. Something like that. I don't know.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, later.
Thanks.
The moderator has disconnected.